What's up, everybody? Thanks for listening to the BTOSports.com podcast show. BTOSports.com has teamed up with us to offer you a great deal on your next moto-related purchase. It's easy. Fill up your shopping cart with at least $100 of merchandise and type M-A-T-T-H-E-S in the coupon section during checkout and you are hooked up. One more thing, folks. If you're looking for more Mathis, you're in luck. He's easy to find. Just bookmark PulpMX.com and follow Mathis on Twitter at Twitter.com/PulpMX.
Responsible if it does. What are you gonna do about it anyway? You won't have a head. You have been warned.
Welcome to the BTOSports.com podcast show, brought to you by Trans World Motocross, hosted by Steve Mathis.
Welcome to the BTOSports.com Transworld Motocross Podcast, and with me on the line is a man who sometimes writer, sometimes team manager, sometimes motocross teaching of champions, I guess you'd say, David Pingree. Ping, what's up?
What's happening, Steve?
Hey, thanks for doing this, buddy. It's late at night, you know. I was going to go to bed, you were going to go to bed, but we're teaming up to do this. It's good.
Well, it's good times. I need something to help put me to sleep, so here we go. Let's have some fun.
Nothing like talking to me to just lull you right to a lullaby. Racer X is David Pingree, by the way, I should say. How is the Racer X end of things going for you?
It's good. It's been a little bit kind of slow for me over there, you know. I mean, being a team manager also kind of ties my hands to what I can do. There's a lot of feature stories that would be fun to do or cool to go do, but I can only really ride a Honda. And,
right.
You know, I've got to fit into my schedule, which there really isn't any room anymore. So
yeah,
that's been a little bit of a bummer because there are some funny story ideas. In fact, Davey Coombs and I, he came up with this idea for a story that I'm going to do here as soon as my days with the team are over, and I can ride something different. So,
right.
From that side of things, like it'll actually managing the team kind of slows some of the stuff down that we're able to do. But it's good, man. I love all the people over there. I just think they're just core motocross fans. You know, they all love it. Everybody there either raced or races or just wishes they could race, you know.
Yeah,
it's good people.
Yeah, I noticed your workload over there has been cut back a little bit, but that's probably just because your team managers are. I mean, now you're doing outdoors and a lot more going on, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many hours in a day, you know, and So it's got something we got to give a little bit.
Right, but let's not forget about Trans World Motocross and Don Maeda, right?
Sorry, I don't want to turn this into a Racer X ad, but you asked me. So
Go ahead,
talk about how great it is at Trans World. Go ahead, I'll give you.
Well, Don Maeda, I mean, he's just a great idea, a great guy. You know, there's a lot of things I can't do right now because of my schedule, but, you know, he just called me up the other day and as soon as some stuff is done, he's got an idea for a really good story.
Bang. Look at that.
Does it sound familiar?
Are you copying me?
Yeah, I just exactly tried to copy what you said. Okay, yeah, so a couple things we need to touch on was let's talk about your managing days. You mentioned that they might be over soon, and you've gone on the record as saying that you might possibly go and get into the fire paramedic world. How's that going? When's that happening? What's going on with that?
I've been working on it for about 2 years now, and kind of just on the side. You know, I've been taking night classes, getting my EMT certificate, went through an anatomy and physiology course. You know, there's classes you've got to take, like confined space awareness, hazmat, you know, hazardous materials and decontamination and that, and sort of the chain of command for the fire service, which is called the incident command system. And of course, you've got to take on understanding that and all this stuff. I've just been slowly chipping away at it, and you know, like anything else, you know, you put in a half-assed effort, you're going to get half-assed results. And it's like, I've just reached a point where it's like, okay, if I'm really going to do this, I need to focus on it and, you know, just do it 100%. And like I just talked about before, I mean, I'm already doing three or four jobs, you know, so like something's got to go. And the race team thing just takes the most of my time. And it's been fun, but it's not something I want to do forever. I don't want to do that right. for the rest of my life. You know, it's too much travel. I'm away from my family too much. I do enjoy, like, the weekends. I love going racing. You know, that's the funnest part, just getting out and seeing the results of all the work you've put in, you know, during the week. But anyway, I'm taking a leap. Yeah, end of this summer, I just today actually kind of figured out what my schedule will be, and I will be able to finish the summer with the team. Motocross of Nations is a maybe, but either just before or just after that event, I will not be a part of the Troy Lee team anymore, and I'll start. I'm going through an academy and then in a paramedic program that starts first of the year, and hopefully after a year of that, I will be looking good to get hired on somewhere.
Yeah, so that's really the final step you need to become a fireman? Is that sort of the thing that'll help you a lot?
Yeah, the fire service has become more of, 80-some percent of the calls they get are medical aids.
Right.
Somebody, you know, injured, difficulty breathing, chest pain, yada, yada. So a lot of the departments are going to paramedic staff where they just aren't going to hire you unless you're a medic.
Mm-hmm.
And California is really kind of leading the way on that, and so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You told me before though you're ready to move if need be, huh? Out of SoCal.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually testing in Vegas August 9th.
Oh yeah.
So we could be neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could do a weekly show on the interweb.
That would be pretty funny. That would be pretty good. I have to get rid of Kenny Watson somehow, but.
Oh yeah. Kenny would have to. Yeah.
Watson's. I mean, he is a shot of Jack away from not showing up every week. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, I admire it, man, because, you know, this is all you've been doing. This is all you know. And, you know, we can point to 100 racers that are down and out after they hang the boots up because they can't seem to find their place in life and they don't really know what they want to do. And on top of that, they only know dirt bike racing. And you're one of those guys. Let's face it. Have you ever had a real job?
Well, stupid jobs when I was a kid,
okay.
But you know,
yeah.
No, you know, I came out of racing. You know, I started as soon as I graduated high school. That was it. I was a professional racer,
right.
You know, and
right.
That's what I did for the next 15 years. So, yeah.
So I mean,
after that, I've worked for a magazine. Which, let's face that, that's not a real job either. Really, I mean,
yeah,
it's not reality. It's wasn't cushy because I wasn't making $1 billion, but. It still wasn't like a 9-to-5, punch in, punch out, you know, in the coal mines type of thing.
And
so
and you know, so like a lot of racers, you know, they don't know what they're doing. It's good to see that you do, and you're willing to walk away and, you know, join the regular life, and just because of family reasons, financial reasons, and work less, which is amazing that you think of a fireman working less than a race team manager, but it really is. You know, so it's admirable, I think, for someone like yourself to do this. I don't know. So, good job.
Well, thanks. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It's scary as hell. I'm walking away from an industry where my entire life I've built a reputation and...
Yeah, you have. You
know, a brand in this industry where I'm known. I think the things I've done a pretty good job at, and whether it's my riding or writing or managing the team, you know, I could definitely just kind of putter around or do this for the rest of my life if I wanted to.
Right.
And
you could.
That would probably be the easy way out, you know. Well, this is what I know. I'll just stick this out. But I don't know, man. Like, I just feel like it's not... There's something better out there for me, you know, and I kind of look forward to the challenge. Like, that's cool, something different and new, like, that I've never done, you know.
Right.
That's exciting to me. But at the same time, I'm completely walking away from everything I've known. I'm going to basically cut my salary in half for the next year while I'm going to school, or less, a third.
Yep.
And try to stay alive and then hope I get a job. I mean, it's... Yeah, no, I'm pretty much scared. Scared crapless
not,
here, you know, just
not,
trying
not
to figure
it all,
out.
Maybe they're not should lay this all out. Maybe you should call Troy Lee back. You're like, hold on a second.
You know what? Actually, I got to go, Steve. Yeah, I need to get a hold of Troy.
No, it's cool. You know, I know a couple of firemen. One of them's coming this weekend to watch Shugel, a really good friend of mine. And, man, the guy never works. He loves it. You know, he's a long-time fireman.
Well, now, hold on. That's not true. He probably works a 56-hour work week. It's just...
No, I think he's...
Structured a little differently.
Four on and three off. You know, so he's at the fire hall for 4 days. Maybe it's three on and four off. I don't know. No,
well, most,
he's in a
most
sleepy...
Most departments
town.
Either run a Kelly schedule, which is you know, 24 on, 24 off for 3 days in a row, and then 4 days off.
Right.
Or they run a 48.96, which is 2 days on, 4 days off.
Right. Yeah, he's in Canada, so it could be all different. But anyways, he loves it. He loves it, you know?
And, he's in Canada, so it's Canadian bacon and...
Yeah, he answers calls for people who have their hands stuck in a maple syrup jar. That's the kind of calls he gets. No, it's cool. It's good. And like you said, dude, you're going to start off at the bottom rung. You're going to be washing the trucks,
yeah,
and hauling the hoses. You know what I mean? But that's cool. You're probably going to miss the racing. But let's face it. And you know, I got out of being a mechanic 4 years, 5 years ago? Wait, 4 years ago. And I'm happier. I'm 200 pounds heavier, but I'm much happier. It's a crazy job, isn't it? Mechanic, race team manager. It's not all it's cracked out to be, is it?
Well, it is if you're young, single, you know,
yeah,
and it's all you want to do. Or if you're old and you don't like your wife and you just want to be gone, you enjoy life on the road or in the shop, because that's what it is. You don't have, it is your life.
Yeah.
If you want to do a good job at it. Whether you're a mechanic or a driver, like the guys that drive the trucks, idiots, crazy. Like, that is the gnarliest job.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys work their butts off.
Yeah, they do.
And I just, yeah, it's for a guy who wants to have a bit of a personal life or has a family, it's rough.
Yeah.
Super rough.
Yeah, no,
absolutely. And you probably, you know, you love to ride. That's why you are interested in the first place, and you don't get to ride. You work in the industry, you hardly ever get to ride because you're too busy working.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So to me, this, it's just a good, it'll be a good fit if I can get on with the department. That's sort of my bread and butter. I can work with Racer X, you know, in my off days and still,
yeah,
probably be able to do more work with them because I won't have the restrictions and things, and I can stay as close to the industry as I want and involved as I want.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's cool. It's good. I hope it works out for you. I don't know.
Yeah, I do too. Otherwise, I'm going to be living under a bridge.
Yeah, exactly. You all, honey, sorry. Another thing people may not realize either, too, is, I mean, there's not a lot of financial gain in the industry. You're not making a ton of money, and there's not a lot of security. Like, Troy could wake up tomorrow and just not like you, and you're out, you know? Or I mean, I'm saying he is, but you know what I mean? A mechanic, same thing. You could be out looking for a job. And
yep,
that's a little
there's no retirement. There's no, you know,
yeah,
it isn't like a corporate structured world where, you know, you just chug along, work up the ladder, and, you know,
yeah,
401k is a whole, it's not like that. You're just basically every year hoping and praying you got a job.
Yeah. Yeah,
no way to live.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay. Now that I'm depressed and
yeah, well. Anyway,
let's talk about your team a little bit. You know, you and I talked early about Townley. You know, I remember you calling me, or we were on the phone about something, and you were like, "What do you think of Ben Townley?" And I don't know, man. I wasn't sold as you were. You've been there, big fan the whole way. Even before you signed him, you thought he could do it. You could see him doing it, and by golly, he's doing it. He's top five every moto, if not a podium, and he's a few mistakes away from having a lot of wins on his plate. You got to be pumped with BT, huh?
I'm so pumped for that guy. I mean, just you know, I was a fan. You know, I watching him kind of as he came up, and we got over here and won the Supercross Championship and raced Villopoto for that outdoor title. I've never met someone who's more professional. You know, he and Ryan were battling tooth and nail for that championship that summer,
mm-hmm.
in the same truck, and everyone thought, oh, man, this is going to get weird. And those two were, like, just totally cool with each other.
Right.
You know, like, Ben races clean. He doesn't, you know, he's not one of these guys that'll smash India or try to play head games. It's like, you know, he goes out, he gives it absolutely everything he's got, race you as hard as he can, clean, and at the end of the day, that's it. Just shake your hand and you're, you know,
yeah,
you're friends still. Like, it's the way it should be. You just wish every guy was like Ben, you know.
Yeah.
Hardworking, very, very focused, very determined, and that's what that's just what I saw, that I thought there's no way this guy's done, you know.
Yeah.
The way it kind of went down, he didn't even have a chance to prove himself on a 450, and he's got it. I mean, he had it in 06 when he was racing Carmichael, or 05 or whatever year it was, on that KTM at the Donations. You remember that? And he chased Ricky around on that KTM the whole time, kept him honest, and I thought, man, that dude, he's got it. He just needs the right opportunity. And you're right. I think he's just a couple little mistakes, some fine-tuning away from winning races.
Yeah, he's were you worried about his injury at all? Like, did that all check out? That's where I think my biggest fear would be, like, hey, how's your body? I don't know the specifics, but were you worried about his injury, or he checked out fine?
No, I knew his shoulder was good.
Yeah.
Because he's not the kind of guy that'll lie to you either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's almost honest to a fault. Like, he wouldn't call me and go, like, yeah, no, the shoulder's good. The shoulder's really good. And then, you know,
yeah.
Meanwhile, he can't lift it up over his head or something. You know, he said, you know what, I had, that thing was bugging me for so long. I was freaking out because no one could figure out what was wrong with it. They'd tell me it's nothing and it still hurt. And he finally found this little bone spur that was in there that was causing all the problems. And he's like, dude, I've never felt better physically, just a year off.
Right.
Just totally, you know, so refreshed, you know.
Yeah.
And he was... it was just good for him, too, because he had time to kind of get his head right and figure out, okay, do I want to keep racing? Do I want to go to Europe? What do I want to do? You know, what do I still want to get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he's made pretty good money. I mean, I in my head, tried to roll some numbers around, like, all right, what's this cat pulled down over the years?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good. Like, he's made some cheddar.
Right.
He hasn't said anything to me, but, like, I kind of know what he was making. And
right.
You can figure, okay, Supercross title, world championship. He had X number of wins in that summer. They were getting paid good that year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, probably 100 G a win.
You know, and he lives in New Zealand, you know, in a
shack.
Well, not in a shack, but, you know, he doesn't drive a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
He's very, you know, lives very modestly, which is also respectable. So he could probably just head back, you know, put a few sheep on a ranch, do whatever they do down there, you know, just cruise
sheep.
And be okay.
Do whatever they do with the sheep or without the sheep?
You know, we have a lot of sheep down there. I'm not sure what they do with them. Do they eat that much lamb or knit that many T-shirts? I don't know what you do about the cotton. And
There's a lot of stories about Kiwis and sheep. Let's just leave it at that.
I don't want to get into them. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You can get some sheep and then, you know, just blend into the Kiwi life down there.
What's been his...
What are they doing with the sheep? What do you do with sheep? Cotton and pork chops or lamb chops. That's it, right?
Yeah, you shave them. And,
shave them.
Yeah.
There's T-shirts and
what? I need a few sheep for my shirts, but that.
Goat cheese.
goat? No, I don't think goat cheese comes from
sheep. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know either.
Now, we've talked about how good he's been doing it. And, you know, again, let's stress his bike is, you know, not... you can buy it, everything on his bike, nothing that special. What's been his problem, though? Like, he's just a few washouts and stalls and just, you know?
We had a plan with him. You know, when he did have that injury at the beginning of the summer, we knew it kind of put us behind the eight ball with testing and his own physical preparation. And I said, look, let's not put any expectations on ourselves. Go out, put in the best 40 minutes you can, you know, a couple of times, and let's give it to a high point. You know, don't even sweat where you finish. Do the best you can do, and then we'll reassess when we head to Bud's Creek. And, you know, by the time we got to High Point, speed was there, like, things were coming down, fitness was getting better, and then, you know, Bud's Creek was going well. He had some couple issues there, too, and he was on the podium by Colorado. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like everything kind of was coming as we'd been planning. And at the beginning, he was rushing things a little bit, just wanting to make it happen right now, and he pushed a little too hard, and he just, you know, his tip-overs have been so dumb. He comes in, and he's just, like, shaking his head, like, what an idiot.
Right.
You know, low sides, typically they're just low sides or, like, yeah, you know, just something silly.
Yeah.
And really, you know, then Red Bud was sort of that first moto, you know, gosh.
Yeah. That wasn't a low side.
Well, that was just, he was tired. You know, he overjumped that jump, got cross-started a little bit, and that was it. But, you know, that's what I love about him. He could have laid up, let those two guys go by. Got a third, but he's just like, hell no. You know, I'm winning this moto. There's no way I've led this whole thing and I'll let these guys pass me.
Yeah.
I mean, to fight Dungey back like that, that's gnarly. That's what I love about the guys.
Yeah.
So, really, it wasn't until Millville where we felt like we kind of took a step backwards. And he just wasn't feeling good. He said he was just kind of tired and lethargic feeling all weekend. So, he's actually getting a bunch of blood work done out here this week, and I'm trying to figure out what was going on. But
overall, you're very happy with his performance.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, for sure. And I think with the exception of Millville, he is too. I mean, we're just kind of like right on track, you know, and he's ready to start getting some wins. He really thought Millville. He's like, I'm winning at least a moto at Millville. It's going to happen. And, gosh, even looked like he might, that second moto there for about a lap and a half. Although, I don't know. I don't know that you could have stopped Dungey there. But
yeah,
anyway.
It's going to be tough. But anyways, yeah.
So.
Now.
Yeah, well, he's pumped. We're excited with how it's going. And hopefully he loves Unadilla, he loves Southwick, loves Paula. So
never heard that before, loves Paula.
Yeah, I know, right? Well.
And how's Clint, his mechanic? He seems a little stressed whenever I see him.
It's funny you say that, man, because he is on edge, dude. He's a time bomb. He blew up at me at Millville.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man, we had such a fight in the pits. It was really embarrassing because...
Look at you, just like Mitch back in the day.
Well, no, I was trying to keep my cool. I'm standing in the tower there, and I'm trying to tell him to tell Ben something. I'll put this on the pit board, and Ben comes around, and he didn't put it on.
Uh-huh.
There was like kind of a short period of time, so I'm thinking, all right, maybe he... Yeah. I think he even said, I already had something written. So I'm like, okay, no worries. Next time he's coming, I'll tell him this, you know, put this on there, please. I want him to... You know, I wanted to convey something to him, and I think it would have helped him. And comes around, he doesn't have it on there. Here he had his breathe on there, which he'd already written a couple times. I'm like, or just write breathe again, what I said into the headset. And he goes, what? And I'm all, just forget it. We'll talk about it later, you know.
Yeah.
But I was pissed. I'm like, dude, if I ask you to write something, there's a reason. You know, I'm trying to help Ben, you know, like.
Yeah.
So we get back to, and so then. He's mad because the moto didn't go that well. Ben just kind of rode a little tight.
Right.
He gets in the mule. He's headed back. The Rhino runs out of gas. So he's like, then he's frustrated. Then an AMA official freaks out on him for leaving the mule in the middle of the dirt road there. He said he was just spinning. By the time he got to the truck, I was the first person he saw, and he's like, well, you got something to say? What do you want to say? And then it kind of set me off, so I said, you know, we started going back. Before you know it, we're shoving each other and, like, screaming.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty gnarly.
You shoving each other?
Yeah, he was poking me in the chest, so I'm like, dude, you're this close to packing your tools and, you know, hitting the freaking brick. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
But you're right. Yes, he's wound really, really, really tight. He's never had, you know, this is only his second year of being a supercross mechanic.
Yeah.
And he's working for a guy who's, you know, nipping on the heels of second in the championship, so.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy.
He puts a lot of pressure on himself to make sure things are right. And I'm like, dude, you got to find a release or you're going to punch me out one day, and it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. All right, sorry I brought that up. That's funny, though.
No, anyway, yeah.
But I'm glad to see that I was right about him being a little tense.
Oh, like a clock, dude. Just...
Oh, funny. Your other guy, Cole Seeley, I feel like he's hit the wall a little bit here lately.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, just kind of not as strong as early in the season. Probably a California kid not used to this heat and
water. Well, you know, I don't want to make excuses for him. He is a rookie. He hasn't seen any of these tracks. I think he's pretty caught off guard by how fit you really have to be. And that's fair enough, you know. I mean, I just hope he's seeing it, you know. I sent him down with Ben. He's staying down with Ben now for the next couple months or month and a half. And I just hope, I told Ben, well, you can just kind of, you don't have to, you know, hold this guy's hand, but let him know when he's slacking, you know, please help me convey to him that, like,
this is how
that ain't going to get it done. Here, let me show you how it's really done, you know, as far as...
Yeah.
How hard you have to work, how committed you need to be, you know, stuff like that. So
yeah. Couldn't ask for a better thing for a rookie, huh? Like
totally. Yep. Yeah. Well, so we've all had talks with him out here about, you know, we were at the track with him. This was like just before the season. I'm like, all right, man, you need to knock a couple 40-minuters out today, you know. Some base laps in, you know. He's laughing at me, like 40 minutes. I'm like, yeah, 40 minutes. Twice. You know, and he's like, dude, I get bored riding that long. Like, I feel like I get better practice if I just do shorter motos, like sprints. And I'm like, well, sprints are good once in a while, you know, like once a week. That's cool, but you need to be able to go for 40 minutes. That's what your race is, you know, 35 to 36 minutes. Yeah. Like, that's what you need to do. Oh, well, and he just kind of blew me off. And so.
Right. Now he's
had what, 7 rounds now of an ass whipping.
In Texas,
he actually made the mistake of getting a good start, ran second for about 15 minutes, and then melted down like that nuclear reactor in Russia.
Yeah, he pulled off, I think, didn't he? He didn't even make
it. No, he stayed out. But
he? Okay, the second motor he pulled off then. Yeah.
It was ugly.
Just like one of those popsicles left in the sun.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Now it's time to pay some bills.
Thanks for listening to the BTOsports.com podcast show. Please don't forget that BTO is the world leader in aftermarket motocross parts for the bike or body. You'll find deals like a Shoei VFXW helmet for $309.99, 45% off, or Smith Piston goggles for $32.99, 65% off. Your order can be shipped at anywhere in the USA for free, or if you're not in the USA, we ship worldwide. Check it out at btosports.com.
And your other rider, Will Hahn, is injured. What's his status? When's he coming back?
He'll be back at Unadilla. He's riding again and was considering doing X Games, but just wants to focus on being back and trying to do well at the last four. Had a really good ride at Bud's Creek, which is his last one. You know, got a fifth, which was his best ever outdoors, and he rode great. You know, did really good. So. Hopefully he can come back and pick up where he left off.
Absolutely. And for him, you think he's going to re-sign with you? Do you think you've lost him? What's the story there? I know he's hot demand. He's hot stuff right now.
What to say here?
You can say you don't know.
I don't know. I'll just say I don't know.
Okay.
That's all I can say, really.
All right. You don't know.
No, that's a bunch of crap. I do know, but I can't say.
Okay, so he'll be...
He'll be riding a Honda next year, I assure you that.
That's all we need to know. All right. Cool. And then how have you enjoyed your manager experience? What's it been like for you? What's been the thing that you didn't think about, the thing that's been most rewarding? I mean, your team has done... I mean, everybody kind of points to to your team and how well you've done, and you have, but people forget that they went racing with Keeney and Gosler and didn't get results, you know? I mean, not to bag on those guys, but I think you had a good part in turning that program around a little bit.
And Graysick. I had Graysick, too.
Oh, yes. Can't forget. Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to think that I did. I mean, you know, I think it's to the point now where they're hiring good enough riders that my help isn't quite as necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And with a guy like Cole or somebody, I still, you know, even this week I went out with Tara and Geiger, getting her ready for X Games, and taught her how to skim whoops, you know, and like she's actually getting to them pretty good, surprising. Uh-huh. So, like Ben, you know, and I do help him a little bit with sort of, you know, this and that. He asked my opinion and whatever, but it's not like I'm going to go out and go, okay, here's how you, you know.
Here's how I did it in Steel City when I got third.
Yeah. So, you know, but back when we had Blos and Moss and Orky and, you know, I think it was definitely something to be able to relate to those guys, go out riding with them, and really be able to help them. And it's been fun. I've actually really, really liked it. The best part is the weekends. Like when you know, there's been a couple, like when Will got his first podium. That was the team's first podium in Supercross this year.
Right.
And when they were second and third at San Diego, and then, you know, when Ben won that moto in the GP, there's like these moments where we've done, you know, just had really good nights. And
yeah.
Like, my wife gets mad because I'm all out. I tell you, I'm telling her about it. I'm like, I got all misty-eyed. Like, we all were, you know, kind of like tearing up. I'm like, I don't know. Just you work all those hours and all that time, and then you see how happy the rider is. I don't know. And the mechanic's crying. Like, we're all just really happy. And she's like, you son of a bitch. Like, you didn't even cry at our wedding. You know, you cried at these dirt bike races. I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you there. Like,
yeah, I mean, I remember Summercross, you know, beating McGrath. I wasn't sure if it was raining or if it was just me. But I was unable to see through some tears.
You know, when you're passionate about something and you're working hard at it and wanting it for, especially for this team, like all of 2009, we were just like, all right, we're going to get a podium. And then it didn't happen, you know.
Yeah.
Like, Flo's had a bunch of fourths. Moss had a couple fourths. But won a heat race, you know, but like couldn't get that podium. So this year it was just...
Yeah,
really cool to get it. I'm sure I'll be up there with the Kleenex flying when Ben wins the moto.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can remember a few times my riders moved in the front and the lead or whatever. I got goosebumps. I really got goosebumps. Doesn't matter how warm it was outside or anything, you know. It was like a really rush of adrenaline. Well, that's what, like, a long time ago, Larry Brooks told me. Like, he's like, man, this sport, it's just up and down. You're just on a high of an ultimate high, and then in a second, you can be crushed and just, you know, and it's just an addicting roller coaster. That's how he put it.
Yeah.
He's right about that. I mean, I guess for Larry, when you have Reed, McGrath, and Stewart, you have quite a bit of highs.
But, well, you know, look at him. Yeah, he goes from Stewart winning a race to then being hurt and being out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then going, crap, all I have is Josh Hill. And then all of a sudden, Josh Hill's doing good. And then Josh Hill's doing bad.
Josh Hill's somehow reverted back to Josh Hill of last year.
Yeah, old Josh Hill.
You think he's going back there next year? I don't think so.
I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I don't think he is. But I didn't know if I
said... Yeah, anyway, so, and then the downsides of the thing are things I didn't expect are... I didn't think it would be that hard to, like, I didn't think I'd have to babysit, like, or, you know, like,
yeah,
not babysit, I don't know what to say, but, like, the mechanics are just, you know, like, this one's mad at me, and then that one's mad at that one, and then this guy didn't do something, and then this, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, like, exhausting. It's like, come on, man, let's, can't, I don't know. It just seems like it shouldn't be that hard sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all good at what they do. It's just, it's like the little petty things, you know. Or
it's just spending a lot of time around each other.
You didn't text me and tell me, you know, you were coming out or not coming out or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. That's been a little bit exhausting to me. But right. And then the travel, which I knew would suck, and it does.
Yeah, the outdoor travel is tough, man. If you're on the West Coast, the outdoor travel is tough. Luckily, this week in Washougal, nice couple-hour flight. But
I'm loving it.
Direct. But, yeah, you know, you're going up to Unadilla and Buds Creek in Minnesota, and you're driving 2 hours to Rochester. You know what I mean? It's not fun. There's no way around it. Supercross is
awesome. The one other thing, too, that's tough at Furley Designs, you know, I don't just have one boss. You know, like, I never really realized the importance of a chain of command.
Right.
Until yours isn't clear.
Yeah.
You know, because I've got Troy, who's obviously owner, and then Bob Weber, who's like the COO.
Right.
And I can't, I'll go to Troy and I'll be like, all right, here's, you know, like even right now I'm working up contracts for a guy. And I'm like, here, what do you think of this? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, looks good. Take it to Bob. Make sure he's cool with it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, I take it to Bob. Okay, Troy, you know, we're on the same page here. I want to run it by you. Oh, yeah, this won't work. Change this and this and this. And then it's like, oh, back to the drawing board. And then I got to, again, take it back to him. And then he's cool with it. And then Troy's like, I don't want that. Change that. I can't forget, you know, it makes it really hard to get anything done.
Yeah, like when you rode for Pro Circuit, there was the chain of command was pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's just Mitch.
That guy in that wheelchair over there.
Yeah.
He's a chain of command.
It has to be. You got to have that. I think that's something that's really, you know, a struggle right now with where I'm at. Like, that needs to change.
We felt like that at Yamaha. We felt like Jimmy Perry was the manager, but he would often contradict himself, and we pretty much figured out it comes from Keith. You know what I mean? Keith McCarty. So we'd be, like, really frustrated because Jimmy would tell us something, and then all of a sudden the plans would change, and we'd have to do a bunch more work because the plans changed because the big boss didn't like it, you know? So it was a little frustrating that way.
Yep. Man, it's not Jimmy's fault, you know? He might think he's doing the right thing and go, you know, and then they'll cut his legs out from under him. So.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of the way it is. You know, you're right. And what's the one thing about managing that's, that you didn't even think about? Was it just being a babysitter? Is that kind of the same question I just asked?
That was the thing that surprised me. Dealing with the interpersonal stuff within the team, I'll just say.
Right.
It wasn't any one person in particular, you know, like, there was a guy that we eventually had that we fired because it was just, he was causing a bunch of problems and the mechanics didn't like him, you know, the interpersonal drama and, you know, politics.
Right.
Like high school. Like I told the guys, well, this is like coming back to high school. It's crazy. cool kids eat over here, you know.
Really?
Bring them lunch. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Really strange.
I always got along with everybody, I think. I never got along with truck drivers too much, but all the mechanics I always did. At least I think I did. You know, I mean, Gothic J was just weird, you know. But other than that, he's cool.
Yeah, weird, but cool.
Yeah, like he'd just disappear and stuff and be his own way, but it's cool. What about being the guy at the races in the tower with all the rest of the big important team managers? Are you ever like, excuse me, I'm here, David Pingree's here, please?
It's really not that big a deal.
Go up there in your smoking jacket.
I do get, it's funny because I still, like, especially at Supercross, I would get really wound up. You know, I'd be screaming and waving my arms. And
right.
I had Roger after Phoenix, because my guy, Han and Wharton, were back and forth for third, the last podium spot. I mean, Will had him passed a couple of times, you know, and they went back and forth. And I was going bananas up there. And Roger's, okay, I look over, like, with about a half a lap to go, and I look at him, he's just laughing at me.
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, dude, I don't know what to tell you, you know.
Yeah.
I'm wound up, and afterwards, he kind of pats me on the back. He's like, are you going to be okay? I'm like, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't get off stuff here. I don't care. Like, there's a beat. I don't want to name a name here, but he's a manager for a Yamaha team. I'll just say that. And he just, man, it's like, acts like he is the president of the United States or something. Dude, you know, what are you doing? You know, you just...
Yeah.
he's booking flights and, you know, coordinating some things for some guys who race bikes. Like, what do you, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the sense of self-importance in the industry is really high sometimes.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about this many times. I think one of the times I was wedged into that plane seat when we were flying to Canada last year. We were talking about that. And just like some people, how they just, like, this is just cancer. This is cure. Like, they would think of your decision to step away, to go to paramedic college, to be a fireman, as just insane. Because what they're doing is the most important thing in the world. You know?
Yeah, how will the Earth continue to spin on its axis if they leave their post?
Exactly. If I don't book this flight to St. Louis on Thursday night, things are going to go bad, you know?
I've got to make sure my rider's got Cytomax for this next weekend's event.
Exactly.
Or what? What will happen?
I know. It drives me nuts. And it's something that you and I have both gotten in trouble for before in our writing because, you know, we've just pissed off people who take it way too seriously.
Well, see, honestly, this is something I'm looking forward to. Like, you know, getting out, because I feel like it's also really, not only is it limited what I can write about, like the stories I can do, but also I feel like it's sort of like reined in when I really want to say what, you know, just like lay it out how it is.
Right.
Like, you know, the manager I just was speaking about, I can't say it because I got to sit in the tower next to this guy the rest of the summer.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And he's probably an all right guy. It's just, you know, it's funny to me. And once I'm back enough to where I'll really just be a dude who, you know, used to be in the industry a bit. And now I'm just kind of observing from the outside. And I'm going to light some people up. I'm going to get back to, like, old school, really calling it out how I see it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for that. Like, that'll be fun to me.
Right. Yeah, you have mellowed over the years, for sure.
You have to, because...
Yeah.
You know, it's no fun to go to the races and have everyone hate you. Everyone mad.
No.
And, like, I was getting to that point because when you really call it how you see it, everybody's dumb once in a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, so pretty soon you've alienated everybody. And, like, for me, once I'm out, I don't care.
Yeah.
You enlighten me, that's cool. I'm going to be sitting up in section C, row 35.
Yeah.
With a Slurpee and a hot dog watching, so I don't care.
Yeah, I think my stuff's gotten mellower, too. Over the years.
Yeah, because you're in. You're delivering goggles. You're, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing. Yes. Merge racing.
No, I'm not doing that anymore, but thanks. Thanks for remembering that. you know, it's just a case of you just pick your battles. I think you pick your battles better, you know?
Yeah.
And, but you're right. Yeah, you're going to be the guy. I mean, who knows if you even get to go to races, you know?
I'll go to the ones I can drive to right here.
Yeah,
you know, and like I'll beg for a pass, and
yeah, I think you'll be okay there. But but what if you get a job somewhere else? I mean, like you said, you're willing to move, so who knows?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
But yeah, no, is the guy the manager an ex-racer?
Don't try to get it out of me. I ain't saying nothing else. That's it. I'm not kidding because I'm not going there.
I can narrow it down for sure, but all right, we won't do that.
ask me in, like, you know,
September.
January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he have somebody rolling out a carpet for him as he walks?
Well, I don't know.
What's the funniest thing that's happened in the manager tower? What's been the best thing? Has Brooks ever hit anybody waving his arms around? Or God, he's got to hate the fact that they chain him up in there.
There's been nothing. No big stories from up there.
Right.
It's funny to me how subdued everyone, they all kind of act like it's just no big deal. So I said, it's weird to me. I'm like, yeah, you guys know, like,
yeah.
I'm wound up, dude. Like, at one point, I actually pulled my arm out of my jacket, and I was waving my sleeve around like a rag, you know, you would do like that. And I had Karen from the AMA coach. She's like, Ping, you can't do that. Like, you're not supposed to signal or do anything from here. You're just watching. I'm like, oh. All right, yeah, my bad. I'm excited, man. Yeah. I'm like, my guy's up front, you know, I'm pumped. She's laughing at me, so I don't know.
Boring up there. What's your thoughts on the even with Fisher wired on like straight coffee into his veins? But what's your thoughts on the season? On the besides your guys, Reed, don't know what's going on with Reed right now, but Dungy's killing him. Shorty's right there, kind of, sort of. It's tight. You can throw a blanket between Short, Metcalf, Townley, Reed, somebody else.
I think Dungy's just gnarly. He's like good right now. It's going to be tough to stop that guy for sure, unless he starts to kind of reel it back just a touch here these last few to
right.
Which I'm kind of banking on a little, that he'll just sort of back her off a touch because he doesn't need to, you know?
Right,
he doesn't need
right.
to get crazy.
Yeah.
But I think Stewart coming in will be interesting, and that'll mix things up.
Does Stewart go 1-1?
I don't think so against Dungy right now. I don't think there's any way.
Right.
I think Dungy can shadow him for 25 minutes, mm-hmm. and then he's going to freaking pour it on, and Stewie will pop.
Right.
And I'm surprised with Short. I think he's riding really, really well. Like, you know, you can tell he's definitely, his job's on the line a little bit, so he's laying it down, and he's getting starts, and he's consistent, man. He's not, you know, in the past he would anchor bad, or he would just not have the speed, and he's good this year.
He's anchored a few times, but, yeah, I mean, overall.
But you know, not
yeah.
bad. He's front, and then you're back to, like, fifth or sixth. And I guess he has done that a couple times. But.
Yeah, he did it at Buds, you know, the second moto when he pulled the whole shot. But what do you make of Michael Lessie? What's the deal there? Bike? Kid? Dad? Tracks?
I just don't know. I would say maybe that bike, but he wants at Hangtown, you know, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I really don't. I think maybe it was just a few bad weekends in a row, and then it just, you know, things can snowball good or bad. With Dungy, it's like his momentum has just grown and grown, and it's blowing in a positive direction. And I think with Mike, it's like, you know, things didn't go well at the GP, really. And then they didn't go well at Texas. And then, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And he's probably got Tony putting a ton of pressure on him during the week. And
Not good. 250F class, what's your thoughts on that? Dean Wilson's pretty impressive, huh? Better than I thought.
Dean's gnarly. Yeah, I had somebody say to me last week, just out of the blue, I'll bet you right now Dean Wilson wins every round next year. And I kind of laughed for a second. I went, dude, you might not be too far off.
Yeah.
Like, that kid is, he is on it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. He's good.
So I think he's going to be a favorite indoors and out next year. It's going to be really good to watch. It'll be fun to watch him and Baggett and, like, all these young kids coming up.
Marsha.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, next year and, you know, once they've got a couple of years of experience, a year now of experience, Marsha too, they're going to be good.
Yeah, I'm impressed with Rattray too. Rattray, I didn't think highly of last year, and he's turning it around. He's a warrior. He's a fighter.
He is. He's solid.
Yeah.
No, he's solid for sure.
Think he'll
stay at PC?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, Mitch made it sound like he was. So I don't know. I think so. Why, do you know something? Do you know something else?
No, I don't. I'm curious to see what Mitch does if he goes another guy, because I think he's after Tickle and he couldn't get Tickle. I think he's locked in with this contract deal. Like, he had a first right of refusal, and if they matched it, he had to stay. So they matched it, and he has to stay.
Tickle has to stay.
This is what I'm hearing. I mean,
right.
I could be wrong. It wouldn't be the first time. But this is the kind of the rumors I'm hearing, and if that's the case, I know Mitch signed Baggett, but we'll still have another spot open because he's losing Purcell and Weimer.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder if Hanny will be that guy.
Will he keep Hanny?
I think he keeps Hanny for sure, no question. He loves having Hanny for his utility guy, that's what he calls him. He goes, if I need the dude to go do some PR or something, you know, I don't have to bother my other guys. I send Hanny.
Yeah.
X Games, Hanny, you know, Mammoth, Hanny.
Right. Yeah. If I need somebody to do something dumb.
Hanny. Yeah, do some testing, you know, I need whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, he told me he told me it's up to Monster, but I would think with the stuff Hanny's been doing and the way he rode, Monster would keep him.
Dude, the PR he got on the Hills was...
Yeah. Killer.
Pretty dang good. Yeah.
What's the one rider in each class that has surprised you the most with their finishes? You know, not an obvious one, but just somebody that you... Both classes has caught your eye as a somebody on the
Ben Talley and Will Hahn.
Oh Jesus, here we go.
Well, I'm just saying you could say that, right? And I wouldn't be out of line.
No, I know. That's why I was looking for somebody not so obvious.
But let me. I'll give you two guys, not my own guys. I think Regal's been good a couple times, but not consistently. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like Regal's either on or off. If he's on, he's on. You know. Yeah.
Like, he was gnarly at Millville. Gnarly. But he was gnarly there last year, too.
Yeah.
Remember, he did the same kind of thing last year.
Yeah, he did.
Who else is surprising me?
Like a Chisholm or a Sipes. They're holding inside top 10.
Sipes is good. I mean, I kind of knew he would be, though. Like, it's not really surprised me, but he's good. You know who I like in the lights class? And this is, he's probably so far off anyone's radar. But I so badly wish I could put this kid on, but I just don't have the space.
Yeah.
Travis Baker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You watch it. This kid can get a good ride.
Yeah.
He is.
What are you saying?
He's really good.
What are you saying about Motor Concepts? What are you saying about Motor Concepts, Payne?
No, I. Yeah, I don't know. Well, you just put me on the spot really bad there. I'm just saying...
I know. I got you. No, I mean, I do their goggle service, so I talk to T-Bakes. I even call them T-Bakes. That's how tight we are. I talk to them all the time, and I pay attention to them. The kid this week in a second moto was 25th, and it was pouring rain, and it sucked, and he just soldiered, worked, and charged the whole moto to, like, a 13th or 14th. Like, it's one of those rides that you don't notice unless you're there seeing it. And you're like, hey, this kid is not giving up, and he is, and he could very easily give up, you know? So.
Yeah, and it starts always stink. I don't know if that's him or what's going on, but
right.
Fit, doesn't quit. I saw him make a pass last weekend, and I was like, God.
Yeah.
That kid's good, man. Like, I wish I could, I'd love to have a year with him, just like.
Right. Nice kid, too. Nice guy.
Awesome kid, yeah.
Awesome kid. Hey, what's this going on with Vital MX? Deegan wants to beat you up. I read that.
Yeah, Deegan's pretty bummed at me. He made a video and everything.
You made a video? Really?
Yeah.
What does it say?
Oh, it's him dressed up as me, and I'm apparently, you know, all bummed out that the militia didn't hire me. You know, like, I want to be in the militia. And so.
Really?
So,
Where can I see this video?
Go to YouTube and just put Tingry and Deegan.
Okay.
Something. It's pretty stupid.
And it all stems from your criticism of the golf course video?
Exactly. It's that poached thing that they do. Like, some of them are all right if you're not really, like, damaging anything. If it's just that one was stupid.
Right.
A, you went out of your way to tiptoe across the grass and tear up. So it's like, what are you? You know, and there's people coming out of the houses and just, I don't know. It's just so juvenile, the whole thing, you know, like, it just wasn't funny to me. It was just dumb, like,
right.
And then he goes tearing out of there and, oh, bro, you know, I'm running from the cops.
Right.
Like, I know what golf course it was.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tempted to call him and go, hey, you remember when someone came on and tore up your course? Here, here's their name and information. You know, like, I don't know. I don't think it's funny. I think it's not. I think it's just stupid and childish.
Yeah.
And so I said that, and he's just all balled up about it.
Well,
you know.
Whatever.
I guess I'm not allowed to have an opinion.
Wow.
And actually, you know, like, I thought Brian was sort of, like, straightening up, but kind of not being such a tool.
Uh-huh.
And I went up to him probably 2 years ago or something, and I said, hey, man, like, because we had problems in the past, a bunch of stuff. I said, hey, I know we've had our problems, but just, you know, I just want to say, I'm over it. I hope we can squash it and whatever. And we shook hands, and, like, that was it. And I've seen him around here and there and whatever. We're okay.
Yeah.
But if I see something dumb, I'm going to say it's dumb. And I think that was dumb. And so now he's tweeting, which is pretty gnarly. It's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's the new drive-by.
twittering that back he's going to come. And
they would, yeah. They'd drive by your house slowly, you know, showing you the butts of their guns, but now they tweet.
Yeah, NattoMilitia.com is all up in your ass, son.
I thought it was pretty funny. I need to see this video, clearly. Well, he's not so roided up anymore. Like, I think you can take him, or it's going to be a good fight. He's not some monster anymore, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm not interested in fighting him, but...
Right.
If he comes to my house, I got to show him.
You got what? Business end?
Yeah.
Nobody says that anymore, the business end. What does that mean?
I just said it.
I know, but I feel like that should be a better saying.
I show my wife the business end of something once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my.
Like, she's standing right here. She just went, what?
I'm gonna write about how, like, Dungy showed the class the business end of his tire. I'm going to write that down.
See how many times you can work that into a press release.
Yeah, Dungy showed him the business end of his rear fender. You know? I like that. Hey, let's talk about the reason I called you. Actually, we're 53 minutes in, but motocross101.com. You have a new DVD out, a riding DVD. I'm selling them on Pulp MX as we speak. What made you get into that? What was the idea behind that?
It was funny. I had a guy. I kind of had thought about doing one, and it was surprising. The way it all started was when I was working with Borkenhagen and working with Blos and Moss and Albertson the very first year with the team, there was a lot of stuff that I just thought was so basic. Like, it was basic to me, and those guys didn't know it. And I was able to, like, no, hey, do this. And just little things, uh-huh, that very subtle changes, and it made such a big difference for them. And I thought, man, if these guys don't know that stuff, like, I could do a video that would, you know, I could really make something good that would help people. Like, people would really get something out of it, not just sort of like fluff and a bunch of BS, like an actual something that would really help people. And, where do you even start with something like that? So I just kind of blew it off. And then at Vegas that year, I had a guy who I knew just sort of through some other people, and he came up to me and said, hey, would you be interested in making like an instructional riding video?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yep. I just said, yep, I would. Call me. I'm totally into it. And he showed me some of the work he'd been doing, and we went over some ideas. I'm all, dude, I'm in. Let's totally do it. And uh-huh. It took about a year. I mean, it was, well, from Vegas 09 to just a couple months ago, you know.
Yeah.
We'd been working on it, and I'm stoked with it. It came out really, really good. I'm happy with the way the instruction is. We have some, you know, some comedy in there. There's some just content from stuff I learned in my career, you know, advice I would give to kids or young riders, and some other clips that no one has seen, like my bike breaking in half. You know, our truck driver filmed that, and it's never gotten out because no ESPN cameras or anything else got it. But the only footage of that crash I have and put in the video. So
Yeah. There's
a lot of cool stuff in it. And on top of all of it, it's I teamed up with Rob Beams, who's a really well-respected trainer in the Southeast down in Florida. Works with Treadle and Adam Cincirillo and some other guys, and he does sort of an online training program for him. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, they have like a book, and he sends you a log that you keep track of everything, and you communicate back and forth with him, and it's really pretty cool. And he came on board and said, man, I just think the video's rad. I would love to do something where I give, give like a 3-month free training to anybody who buys the video. And I was like, all right, well, what's the catch? Like, what do you want, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're not just going to do that. And he's like, no, he goes, hopefully those people would like the training and continue on with it. Obviously, that's his hope. But he said, I think the video's great. I'd love to be a part of it. So
that's cool.
It's like a $450 value for this 3 months of training, and it's free when you buy the DVD. So, you do have to buy it through our website. Like, if you, it's soon going to be available on iTunes, and we've got a distributorship getting set up, so it'll be in some dealerships and things like that. And it won't be included with that, but if you buy it from our website, it's $24.95. Yeah, 3 free months of training.
Nice. And how's sales been? You kind of had a, like you said, you're getting with distributors, so the rollout isn't complete yet, but how's sales been?
Yeah, no, it's actually been picking up. It's like I was a little discouraged right at first because, you know, they were not selling, you know, and I really was only able to post it online on a couple places, and and not that they weren't selling, just not as fast as I'd hoped. And then it seems like every single week we pick up speed. You know, they're selling more and more and more and more. So.
Oh, cool. Right on.
And they should start coming out in the magazines in the next couple of weeks, and you know, the reviews and things like that. So
did you get one to Jody at MXA?
No, I didn't. That's the only magazine we didn't bother sending one to. Don did one. You know what? Don did one in Transworld. I was like, I told my partner Donnie, I'm like, you know, I don't know. Like, he might see me as sort of the competition. I don't know if he's gonna want to help out. And he goes, well, I'll just call him. And Don's like, dude, I'll totally do it. Send it over. I'll put it in. You know, I like paying. No problem. Right. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool of him.
Yeah. Don Maeda at Transworld Motocross. Good guy. Good guy.
Good guy. Good. Give us your spiel.
Well, it's cool. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but, I mean, I've sold some for you, and the reviews have been good. And, I mean, like you said, it's just going to help somebody who, you know, can put it in, and you're coming on iTunes, which is a great idea for guys at the track. I really like that idea, you know?
Yep.
You're going to be able to watch it on your iPhone if you're at the track and you're struggling with something or you want to think about something. So,
yep. Well, there's if you're a racer or even just a rider, you know, ride on the weekends, or you'll pick something up out of it. You'll make an improvement. I guarantee it. So,
I guarantee it.
Like I said, it's entertaining too.
What you need to do is somehow get a contest going where you actually go out and like teach somebody who buys a DVD. Like everybody's entered into a draw, and you'll go somewhere and hang out with them. No,
I like that.
Yeah. Do you think how cool that would be? You buy a DVD, and you're entered in a draw to have David Pingree come out and do a school for you and your buddies, and most likely would just sit around.
With my luck, the person who buys it will live in Kazakhstan. You know? You buy the DVD with a golden ticket, I am on my way.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, David Pingree.
I am... Inside Fallujah. There's a sweet sand shanty.
Watch out for the mines. The mines are buried in there. Or it could be worse. It could be Canada.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, motocross101.com. People can go and get it.
That's right. That's right. Pick it up. Free training. You can get yourself in shape by the end of the summer, just in time to settle in for winter and put it all back on.
Fantastic. What a pitch. What a pitch, I tell you. You were born to be a salesman. It's depressing that you're leaving the industry, but it's encouraging that you're doing it. And maybe that'll encourage me to actually get a career, a real career. But probably not.
Well, yeah, wait till my story turns out good first. Like I said, I could, in 14 months, have lost my home. two meals a day down of a soup kitchen.
Lost your Puerto Rican dogs.
Puerto Rican dogs ran off for greener pastures.
Exactly. What kind of greener pastures could they possibly grab, huh? Than where they were. All right, man. Well, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
it's
done.
It's late. I gotta go to bed. You gotta go to bed.
It's pretty late. I'm gonna go get some sleep. I'm gonna dream of
vegan. What are you doing tomorrow? You going to the shop?
Nope. Taking tomorrow off.
This is a Wednesday, so you're off Thursday. Then you go to Washugo Friday.
That's right. Early.
Yeah, I'll be there too. We have some things planned. You and I.
Oh, that's right. Big hot dog eating contest.
Yes, we have and it's going to be
channeling my inner Kobayashi, and I'm going to take you down.
It's going to be a hot dog, a smoothie, and some salsa.
Salsa?
I don't know. That's what I heard. We can change that if we need to.
It's got to change. I ain't eating salsa. Come on. I'm vomiting.
I don't know.
I like this smoothie because the brain freeze factor.
Yes, that's exactly correct. That is why I was told the smoothie was going to be there for the brain freeze.
So who's making us smoothies?
Big B, Cowie driver. As you know. Yeah.
Okay.
So Kenny Watson.
I'd like to see an assortment of mini candy bars added to it.
Oh yeah, yeah. We could do that.
Yeah.
We can do anything we want. Yeah. Maybe we can do an eating cut. Maybe we can do a director's cut. How we would have wanted it with commentary.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks. Everybody should pick up a DVD, motocross101.com.
Do it. It's worth it. You're getting $500 worth of value.
Yeah.
For $24.95.
Incredible, I tell you. Just incredible.
It's amazing.
Okay.
Why would you not do it? You're saving yourself money.
Yeah. Actually, in a way, the DVD is paying you.
Yeah. Do you want to be poor? Are you not a good, steward with your money? Come on.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
Okay.
Ian Washougal.
Yeah, Mathis out.
Yep.
This has been the BTOsports.com podcast show brought to you by Trans World Motocross. Don't forget to check out some of our past shows, including motocross legends such as
The Beast from the East, Damon Bradshaw.
It got to the point to where I didn't want to leave home, and once I got to the race, I wasn't into it. If I wasn't going to give 100%, I'm not going to take their money.
The working class hero, Doug Henry.
It was definitely an emotional moment for me, just thinking to myself, that's it, and it's amazing the stuff that goes through your head in a short amount of time of the things that, that I was going to miss.
The Dogger, Ron Machine.
Until you really open your ears and you want to listen to what they're saying, it's like beating a dead horse. And I know from personal experience, did anybody ever sit me down? Of course, everybody did.
Pro Circuits, Mitch Payton.
There's two ways to make the money. One is you can sign for money, or two, you can earn the money. I'm a high believer in earning the money. I think they ride better when they earn the money.
Seven-time Jeremy McGrath.
I was so mad, so disappointed and so frustrated that I pulled fifth and I left. Every point counts. I could kick myself to this day for not just riding around in tents. It's been no problem. My ego got in the way,
The O Show, Johnny O'Mara.
Stuff that you'd sit there if you didn't even want to ride it, you just wanted to just look at it all day. I got a chance to test all that. I like that era I was in. I really do.
Search Mathis on the iTunes Store to find these and many more great podcasts. I won't let this die. I've got this bad up in the atmosphere. Another reason.